When we talk about the depths and drawing things up, you've got to look at data. Data has to be one of the sexiest words ever. Data, data. But those numbers are just beautiful and they paint a picture. I was actually saying to my engineer, Craig Guthrie, by the way, my name's Kathy Kayla, and I was saying to Craig Guthrie that if there's one department that works exceptionally well in South Africa, it's this one, Statistics South Africa. Right? All the data. And these guys know what they're talking about. Recently, the second quarter, I think, or was it the first quarter, results were released for Statistics South Africa. And I want to try and understand the data that, because when you read it, how some journalists are writing about it can actually skew it because they bring their own interpretation. So, thought, well, let's get hold of the people who really know. And joining me right now is Solly Molai, who is the Deputy Director General for Population and Social Statistics. Good afternoon, and thank you so much for your time.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I mean, I've been using Statistics South Africa for many, many, many years, and it's just, your data is incredible. So, for example, just so our listeners know, by the way, you can go to statssa.gov.za. You want to go and find the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate for the first quarter was 32.9%. Okay. Sully, what are the big numbers that we should always start with when we are looking at statistics about South Africa?
Thank you, and thanks for the opportunity. And to your point, you're quite correct. We release numbers, and sometimes journalists get it wrong in terms of how they interpret it. And I don't blame them. Statistics is not an easy subject. I mean, if you check, when I was doing my statistics 101, there were very few of us in the lecture room. So I do understand. And I think, as they say, it's also our responsibility to make sure that we assist the public in how numbers need to be interpreted. And to answer your question, so Status is responsible for many products, but I think the big ones, it's the GDP numbers. The GDP numbers is the numbers that are coming from Status in terms of looking at economy, how we performed, and this come on a quarterly basis. So we assist the country to have a better sense of how economy is performing.
Right.
The other big output that is coming from Status is what we call it the CPI. I think today you noticed that the Reserve Bank have cut the interest rate.
Right.
It's informed by the output coming from Status, which is the CPI, which is coming on a monthly basis. I think that will also be great for listeners to also track. Then from the population and social statistics, which is my area, we run the census where we're running out to go to the household, and then we run it every after 10 years. We have done it in 2022, and we have done some product around that. But on a quarterly basis, to your point, we do what we call it a quarterly labor force survey, where we are looking at the number of people who are working and those who are not working. And we also profile. And the report, the second quarter report is coming out next week. Not next week, but in the second week of August, around the 12th. So you can invite me, I can come and sit down and then explain more in terms of the latest numbers of labor force survey.
Absolutely.
Then, yes, this week we have released what we call it a mid-year population estimate. The mid-year population estimate is the product that we release on an annual basis. You could imagine that we can't run census almost every year. It's quite expensive.
Yes.
It's an expensive exercise. So now what do we do in between the censuses? Because we can't wait for another 10 years to get an understanding of the population numbers. We have a model that we have already adopted as a country, working with the colleagues from the UN and also the other national statistical agencies across the world that are using it. We are able to have a better sense of estimating the population using three components. One, the number of births, meaning how many babies are born in that particular year, and then you minus by the number of people who have died in that particular year. And then we do what we call it a net migration, which is a net international migration, which is another component of the model. it gives you a sense of those who left and those who came back, and then you look at the net.
Right.
And that's what gives us a sense of how we can calculate the population.
Yeah. I mean, I saw one of the statistics that I didn't actually check it against your site, but in this article that I was reading, it quoted just over 500,000 white South Africans have left South Africa in the last 25 years. That sounds quite a low figure.
Yes, firstly, I actually just finished now the article that we're trying to clarify, because that was a misinterpretation of numbers from the journalist who wrote that article.
Yes.
So it's coming from the product that I'm referring to, which is a midday population estimate. So what we are saying in the report is that those what is what we call it a migration flows. So we remember we're using the number of babies that are born in a particular year, which is this year of 2024, between 2024 and 2025, the number of people who have passed away, and then you take into account that net. It's a net international migration. It's not a stock, meaning it's not the number of people who have left.
Right.
Is the number is a difference between those who came in and those who came out. That one, if it's positive, it means you have more people who came in. If it's a negative, it means that you have more people who are leaving. In this case, that 500 and more than 500,000 that are referring to, it was for a period of 2001 until 2006 for the entire population. For whites, we are seeing that in the 5-year intervals, they are what we call it net international migration is negative. What does it mean, Katie? It means that we are seeing more of white population group are leaving the country. Now, when you go to the UN migration stock, it says to us that there's more than 1 million of South Africans who are living abroad. So we are aware that, and how do we know this? Because we, as let us say, we are also able to access other databases that are sitting with other national statistical agencies in different countries.
Right.
We are able to know when they capture in their own countries, for example, in New Zealand, they are able to capture the migrants that are in New Zealand, and then if they are South Africans, they will capture them accordingly. So we are able to have a better sense of different countries that are capturing migrants in their own country.
Right.
And then that gives us a sense of understanding how our population in South Africa get affected. So that is the how we should supposed to interpret the numbers.
So this might sound like a really dumb question, but do we count undocumented foreign nationals when we do a census, when you do a census or when you do your research?
Yes, it's not a dumb question. I have to be honest with you. This is the most questions that we ask almost on a daily basis. So this is how it operates. We go to the household. We ask anyone within the household.
Right.
Our responsibility is not to check whether you have documentation, because the way we're doing official statistics is that we need to count anyone within the borders. Because you can imagine if you are a mayor of a city, you are planning for everyone within that boundaries.
Exactly.
So you need to know how many people within. So we are counting everybody in that particular boundary so that when we come up with estimates, we can tell you that in terms of service delivery, you need to plan for so many people because those people are within the boundaries. The police will do their own work in terms of checking who's supposed to come in legal or illegal. But from our side, in terms of status, say, we are capturing everyone. Hence, we are saying when we run census that it's the census night. Anyone within the borders of South Africa, it is our responsibility to make sure that we count them in.
If you've just joined us, I'm speaking to Solly Mulai, who's the Deputy Director General for Population and Social Statistics at Statistics South Africa. Good thing I haven't been drinking, hey, Solly. This is me sober. We've got to take some ads, but can I ask you, would it be possible for you to stay with me just to carry on talking?
No.
Because you are absolutely fascinating. It is amazing to speak to somebody who's so knowledgeable over statistics and that you can actually talk us through them. Would that be okay with you?
No. I'll stay. I'll definitely stay.
Thank you.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So I also need to introduce my guest who I was speaking to just before we took those ads, and that is the Deputy Director General for Population and Social Statistics at Statistics South Africa, Solly Molai. And Solly was also explaining, you know, all the different elements. If you go onto Statistics South Africa, it's one of the most functional departments in the country. This gives me hope, Solly. Okay, so you don't have to comment on that. Okay, but our unemployment rate for the first quarter of this year was 32.9%. Is that up or down?
So the numbers that you are quoting is for quarter one,
yes,
of 2025, yes. And when we were presenting at that particular point, we were saying that we have more people who are unemployed. And this mainly is driven by, remember, in January, that's when we start seeing unemployment rate also increasing. It's if you look at over the past 20 years, and the reason being is because, remember, we're getting new entrants coming from the universities. They've just completed their qualification. They're entering the labor market and looking for a job. Then you've got those who have completed matric in the previous year.
Yes.
They are also entering this. So that is why we are seeing a lot of if you plot this over time, you'll see that in quarter one, in most cases, our unemployment rate is going up. It mainly is driven by the new entrants are coming into the labor force market. The other thing is that our economy has been growing by less than 1% over the past 4 to 5 years. And that on its own, it means that you are not able to absorb many people who are coming into the labor force market.
Yes.
So we really need to work in terms of how we can increase our economy very fast, because remember the 2030 is coming, which is the NDP end of the period, and the NDP is saying to us that as a country we need our employment rate to be at 6%. So you can imagine that now with the 5 year that is left, we really need to work hard as a country to say how do we increase economy to start moving up and able to increase the opportunity for people to get absorbed into the labor market. As we are having more people are coming from the education system, they're getting into a labor market. We need to make sure that economy grows faster.
You know, I was speaking to somebody who does training, and, you know, we were talking about, you know, the challenges of developing entrepreneurs, because I think that holds a real solution for South Africa economically. And she was saying it's not that there aren't jobs. There are millions of job posts that are not being filled. People are being given the wrong information as to what jobs to train for, what jobs to study for. So they're going, for example, and going into accounting, but accountants are being replaced by computers. So it's a very interesting time to be in South Africa. And the information that you're giving means that we can then take that and we can start looking for solutions, because you give us a very, very solid basis on which to do that. Do we have an idea of the rates of, you know, entrepreneurs, people who own their own businesses? What do we know?
Okay. Yes, we do. We do have a sense of understanding those who are running their own businesses. But I think what I also wanted to explain is that I agree to a large extent, because if you look at our employment over time,
yes,
meaning if you just take employment and say those who are working, which sectors are from, you'll see that most of us who are working were coming from the formal sector. So formal sector is consisting about 68% of employment in South Africa. Informal sector, it's about 20%, and it's been hovering around that percentage. And it's exactly what we're saying in terms of what is it that we can do to increase employment in informal sector so that we are able to absorb as many people as possible. It includes also us trying to, and then we're working with the Department of Small Development Business to say to them, we really need to get to a point where we are able to track how many small businesses are we having in the country. That is why we are conversing for a database.
Yes.
Where we can able to register these businesses, because if the businesses are not registered, it becomes tricky to understand how many do we have, and then able to track how many can we improve, and also exactly in which sector these businesses are.
Yes,
and
the informal sector. Exactly, the informal sector. I mean, how many ladies are there sitting outside schools selling donuts?
Exactly. And if you look at over time, in 2001, we were sitting about 2.3 million of people who indicated that they're actually running at least non-VAT registered businesses. Now, that have dropped to around 1.9 million.
Wow.
That also shows you that, and if you look at it in between the COVID-19 period, which is 2020, 2021, it went extremely low because of, obviously, for COVID-19. And I think from there, we haven't recovered in terms of the number of non-VAT registered businesses.
Yeah.
And the other thing is exactly what you just said now, that when you look at the profile, it's male-dominated. And that we really need to change, especially now that we're going to celebrate a Women's Month. We really need to start thinking a little bit differently to say, how do we support a female who's running a non-VAT registered business? Because we really need to increase those numbers. But the only way we can increase these numbers is the support that they need to get from different, whether private or public.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's a guy who, I'm trying to think, his name is Muhammad Yusuf. He's a Pakistani leader, and I interviewed him years ago. He won the Nobel Prize. He started something called the Grameen Bank, and he started this bank investing in women specifically because he found that if you gave $100 to a man and you gave $100 to a woman, the man would take part of that, a large part of that, and he would buy a suit and a briefcase, and he would look the part. The woman wouldn't worry about that, and she'd put 100% of that $100 into her business. And on that basis, he started this bank called the Grameen Bank, and it's all micro loans. And he has helped to emancipate many, many women in a country like Pakistan, where there was really very little hope. It's quite extraordinary. So, I mean, there are people who are doing incredible things, but it all starts with the numbers, Solly.
Yes. So,
very grateful to you.
Yes, and I always, hence we when the CEO of Capitec came out and saying unemployment rate is sitting at 10%, we went out to correct that statement, because you can think about it. If you're saying unemployment rate is sitting at 10%, then you must go to the townships and check whether the reality that we are facing when we ourselves go to townships and collecting this information.
Right.
And just to conclude, maybe in terms of employment issues, is that if you ask me a question, what is the face of unemployment in South Africa? It's in two parts. One, it's women.
Yes.
Women are vulnerable to unemployment,
yes,
specifically even African women, because that employment rate is quite high, above the national. The second part is the youth. The youth in South Africa, their unemployment rate is above the national. And we really need to make a point that how are we going to ensure that the opportunities that are coming by increasing our economy, absorbing the youth, but at the same time also absorbing the women, so that we are able to move the country. This country, if you look at the population numbers, majority of the population is below 35. Yes, so it means that it's a very youthful country. We really need to make sure that our youth are in training or they're in employment.
And they're getting guidance on what jobs to take on. And we teach them, you know, that it's the university is wonderful, but it's not for everybody. If you can start a career, you know, not everybody has to go to university. You can build a life without it. And I think that is something that we need to kind of speak to our kids about. Yeah. Solly, it's such a pleasure speaking to you. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much, Solly Moloi. And thank you. Thank you for your time. Solly Moloi is the Deputy Director General for Population and Social Statistics. Wasn't he absolutely just brilliant? Go and take a look at Statistics South Africa. Go to their website. It's StatsSA. And go and check out all those wonderful numbers. They're all there, and that's in black and white. Well, actually, there's nice colored pictures too.